Good morning. Welcome to our congregational time of worship of God this morning. As you can tell, the church's decorations were taken down. They were taken down yesterday as the day of Epiphany. And Epiphany is the day that the church, the liturgical church, commemorates the coming of the wise men to Jesus, presenting their gifts to him. Well, Epiphany every year is January 6th, so Christmastide, the season of Christmastide is over, so decorations came down yesterday. The pyramids have been changed to green for this next season. They will remain green until Ash Wednesday, when they'll be changed to purple. In taking down the decorations, hopefully you'll overlook a couple of things. Number one, someone tried to vacuum real well, but you might see some extra green needles or glitter in your pew or on the floor, and you'll notice that the altar rail was not put back in place. We have to do some repair of the floor fasteners for that, but they will be. I'm not trying to change everything, okay? But they'll be back in place next Sunday. Next Sunday, they will have the annual congregational meeting. Please look at the schedule in the bulletin on page 5, where we will have an altered Sunday morning schedule. Packets for the meeting are on a table in the narthex. The copier decided to have a little bit of a fit on Friday, so we were able to produce, or Jocelyn was able to make 80 copies. They're out there. If you get to the stack and they're gone, more will be reduced after the copier is repaired in the morning, and you can pick those up during the week or next Sunday, just as the meeting begins. Logos and JYF will resume this Wednesday evening, and we have Mission of Month special announcement. Oh, you blend in so well. She's not here. Ann Grimm's going to come up and share.
Good morning. I come to you on behalf of the Mission Committee to share this month's Mission of the Month, which is Church World Services Disaster Relief Cleanup Kits. Church World Services was started in 1946 by 17 denominations. They provided food, clothing, and medical supplies to war-torn Europe and Asia. They also resettled 100,000 refugees over the next 10 years. Now, over 75 years later, they have evolved and are serving around the world, addressing issues of hunger, poverty, refugee resettlement, sustainability due to the climate changes, and natural disaster relief efforts. Their vision is a world where everyone has food, voice, and a safe place to call home. This month for January, our focus is on the disaster relief with our funds given to support Church World Services cleanup kits. You may have noticed in the announcement videos, they were handing them out of the back of a truck. It's basically a 5-gallon bucket with cleaning supplies of all kinds, cleaners, gloves, towels, that kind of things. And these are shared with victims of floods, hurricanes, and other natural disasters. These kits offer hope and supplies to help people begin rebuilding their lives and their homes. If you feel led to support this mission, mark your envelope MAM or CWS kits, or you can give on the church website through the Breeze Online Giving. There's a drop-down that says Give To, just select Church World Services. For more information and to read some really good real-life stories on their work and individuals that have been served by them, go to cwsglobal.org. Please prayerfully consider supporting Church World Service in their cleanup kit mission. Thank you.
Our opening scripture this morning is taken from Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 12. John, who is the author, has just heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000. That consists of 12,000 from each of the tribes of Israel. Starting at verse 9. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Praise the glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength to be our strength be our God forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, speak to us today so that we recognize you in our lives. Help us to remember that the devotion of our minds to you is the most effective way we can honor and worship you. Also help us to remember that it's not enough for us only to think about you, God, but we are also to act upon what we think, showing your love to others who may know nothing about you, God, or your Son, Jesus. Amen. I invite you to rise and take part in our call to worship. Sing to the Lord a new song.
Let the people rejoice in their Maker,
be glad
in their King.
Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him.
For the Lord takes delight in his people.
He crowns the humble with victory.
Let his faithful people rejoice.
Join me in singing our opening hymn, hymn number 546, For All the Saints. Having been truly made saints through Jesus Christ, I invite you now to pass the peace of Jesus Christ.
As a Christian church congregation, we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. And through Christ's victory over death, through his resurrection from the tomb, and by his ascension into glory everlasting, the Bible assures us he has gone ahead of his followers to prepare a place in eternity for each believer. In our worship of God as a congregational family this morning, we thank God for the true gift of salvation and the great hope and promise of eternal life. Hope and promise that enable us to celebrate the joy of life even while still mourning the earthly death of family members and friends. In this time of remembrance and celebration of life, we light four memorial candles. The first candle is lit to remember Christ's death and to celebrate his resurrection. The second candle is lit in remembrance of the members of St. John's who died in this past year. The third candle is lit in memory of those who died this past year and whose memorial service was held here at St. John's or for whom I shared in the funeral services. And the fourth candle is lit in honor of the memory of relatives and friends of yours who died during this past year. Going to share some words about each of the people that we are remembering from our congregation this morning. Barbara Voss was born on June 9, 1932 in Holland, Michigan. On April 13, 1957, Barbara married Bob. They were married 64 years and the couple had two children, Kathy and Deb. Barbara received her teaching degree from Hope College in Holland, Michigan, and taught first grade until she became a full-time homemaker and volunteer. Over the years, she volunteered and served in many places. She felt volunteering was her calling, and she willingly served the Lord in that way. In 2017, Barbara and Bob moved to Archbold and attended St. John's. Barbara's life of faith, serving God by serving others, loving those less fortunate, and using her talents and gifts to encourage others is her legacy. Barbara entered into eternal life on February 5th at the age of 89. Gary L. Sears was born on November 3rd, 1946 in Illinois to Wayne and Verna Sears. He married Judy Leip on June 21st, 1968, and the couple had three children, Christopher, Austin, and Heather. Gary was a truck driver and enjoyed helping Judy care for many senior citizen ladies of our community. Gary entered eternal life on June 9th at the age of 75 years. Paulette Spotts was born in Wauseon, the daughter of Bill and Ruth Claire. She attended Stotzenberg College in Maumee and worked many years at Souder Woodworking. Paulette married Kurt Spotts on September 13th, 1999, and relocated to Phoenix, Arizona, where they lived happily for 22 years. In her spare time, Paulette enjoyed gardening, crocheting, and creating delicious meals for her family. She loved going for walks and spending time with her daughters and grandkids. She loved animals, and they were just as much a part of the family. Paulette entered into eternal life on July 24th at the age of 71. Robert L. Kuntz was born July 9, 1932 in Wauseon, the son of Homer and Maybelle Kuntz. Bob graduated from Ridgeville High School in 1952, then married Jolaine on August 1, 1953, and they were blessed with four children, Vicky, Keith, Blake, and Royce. Bob delivered fuel products to homes and businesses and had many stories to tell from his delivery days. And later, he helped Keith mow the golf course at Ironwood in Wauseon. Following Jolaine's death in 2000, Bob married Donna Meyer, and she preceded him in death in November of 2011. Bob was a man with a great sense of humor and a strong faith in Christ. He was a member of the Wauseon Masonic Lodge, number 349, and a lifetime member of St. John's. Bob entered eternal life on August 25th at the age of 90. Pastor Ryan is going to be bringing a carnation to Keith. You could meet him at the bottom of the steps if you wouldn't mind. The carnation in red in color is a symbol of the Holy Spirit and the promise of everlasting life in Christ. Bernice W. Rice was born in Archbold on September 12, 1920, to the late Albert and Mary Rice. She lived on the family farm and knew the meaning of hard work. When World War II started, Bernice wanted to enlist in the military to become a nurse so she could help the soldiers, but her father would not allow her. She then started working at Detweiler Hospital and continued there for several years. She then started working at Solder Woodworking and retired after 40 years, and she was well-loved at that place. She was a member of St. John's and was active in the Women's Guild, the Sewing Circle, and the Crusaders Sunday School class. Bernice loved tending her flowers after her retirement. She was a kind and gentle person. She liked to talk to people and especially loved children. Bernice entered into eternal life on October 16th at the age of 102. Wayne Howard Spiess was born January 30th, 1925, the son of Frederick and Charlotte Spiess, growing up on a farm in German Township. In 1948, he married Suzanne Schlatter and moved to the Spiess family farm. The couple were blessed with five children, Richard, Priscilla, Nanette, John, and Philip. Wayne was a lifelong farmer and loved nature, trampling through the woodlands, sharing his knowledge of flora and fauna. In addition to farming, Wayne worked as a fabricator at LeChoy Foods for 25 years and developed several specialty machines. Wayne was on the Fulton County Farm Bureau Advisory Council, 4-H advisor, and a board member of the Archbold Area Foundation. Wayne was a lifelong member of St. John's, serving on the 1956 Building Committee, and as an elder, deacon, YF advisor, and sang with the chancel choir and an amends quartet. Wayne's strong Christian faith was shown through his service to others. He assisted others in need and served on many mission trips, including traveling to Cajado Children's Home at the age of 80. In retirement, Wayne and Susie spent two summers working and living in Yellowstone National Park. His thirst for learning and experiencing new adventures never stopped. Wayne was happiest spending summers enjoying the family cottage at Hamilton Lake with a fishing pole in his hand. Wayne entered eternal life on November 27th at the age of 97. Tony Voyne was born on September 16, 1952, to Ira and Anna Greaser. She was married to her high school sweetheart, Doug Voyne, for 49 years. They raised their two daughters, Sarah and Dana, while operating an independent pharmacy, the City Drug Store. Tony and Doug were active members of St. John's for many, many years. When Tony and Doug became grandparents, they relocated to Cincinnati in 2010. Tony loved the Lord and intentionally and simply tried to show God's love in how she loved others. Tony entered eternal life on December 6th at the age of 70.
We continue this service of remembrance by singing together hymn number 405, verses 1 and 2, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place.
Oh,
us pray. Eternal God, everlasting Lord, creator, redeemer, and sustainer of life, we bow in your presence this morning, praising you for the gift of life and thanking you for the eternal care of the people we are remembering this morning. We pray that those who grieve and mourn will be blessed with your comfort and your peace. May the sure and certain knowledge of salvation and everlasting life through belief in Jesus Christ as Lord bring hope to all. So fill us with the promise of the resurrection, that we may join all the saints who sing your praise. To you, O God, we pray. Amen.
And I ask children to come up, if you would, please. I'm red. Can you hear me now? Okay, wonderful. Okay, now I got trouble with this. I'm a big mess this way. That was my microphone. You know what? Do you ever have trouble understanding things? Grown understanding things, just like kids have trouble understanding things. For example, this morning, I got in my car to come to church, and I pushed a button, and the motor started. I don't know how that happens. It just happened. And then I put it into D, that means drive, and all four of my tires started moving forward. I don't know how that happens. I just drive my car. Sometimes kids love dinosaurs. What happened to all those dinosaurs?
They're extinct.
They are extinct. You know, archaeologists have found their bones, so we know they lived here. But where did they go? I don't really know. In museums, okay. Also, I pick up my cell phone and I just punch a face in my cell phone, and my grandchildren, who live 3 hours away, answer the phone. They're a long ways away, but we can talk back and forth. I don't know how that works, but I use my phone. There's something that grown-ups who are Christians have a hard time understanding, and it's called the Trinity. The Trinity means three in one, three gods in one. So I kind of brought this little sign to maybe help you out a little bit, because I don't understand it completely either. God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, God the Father is the creator. He's the one who created everything on earth. So if you look at the sky, you look at the oceans, you look at fish, you look at your dogs, if you look in the mirror, he created you. God the Son is Jesus. We just celebrated Jesus' birth a week or so ago. And Jesus came to earth for the purpose of dying so we could live with him forever. And then we have God, the Holy Spirit. Well, Jesus promised before he left this earth that he would send a comforter, someone to kind of live within our hearts, to take care of us. That is the Holy Spirit. So we have God, who's one God, but he's like three persons. He's not three gods. He's only one God. So I'm going to give you two examples today that maybe will help us understand that, okay? I have some water. If I was to tap this and pour it out, it'd make a big mess, wouldn't it? I'd have a wet floor. It would.
It would flow like a river.
Well, I don't have enough to make a river, but I'd have enough to make a mess. Now, if I take this water and pour it into a container and put it in my freezer, I have ice. It's still water, but it looks different. It's in the form of ice. And if I take that ice and I put it in a pan and I put it on the stove and I heat it up and it starts to boil, I get steam coming out. And that's water too. They're all water, but they're in different forms. We have water, we have ice, and we have steam. Now here's another example. I'm going to use Pastor Eric as an example for this one. When he was born, he became a son to his father and his mother. He became a brother to his sisters and brother. Then he fell in love and he got married and he became a husband to Lynn. And then, couldn't be any happier, he had two children. He had Ryan and Amy, so he became a father. Then he went to college and he became a minister. And in his free time, he likes to work in his shop, so he's a carpenter. He's all those things, but he's just one person. That's kind of how the Trinity works. There's three persons, but only one God. Okay? Now, I don't understand it all, but I know that God is powerful. I know that God is mysterious, and I'm glad I don't understand it all, because God is much, much bigger than I am and much smarter than I am, that's for sure.
And much powerful.
And much more powerful, you're right. And so this is all I do. I know that God, the Trinity, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will always take care of me and take care of you and will always love me and will always love you. And that's all that really matters. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for first of all, for all these lovely faces up here. And thank you for your Trinity, for being our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.
Let's bow before the Lord in prayer. Almighty and gracious God, we do thank you for the truth of the scriptures that teach us that you are Father, and you are Son, and you are Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the grace of Christ. We thank you for your love, and we thank you for the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that fellowship that offers comfort and peace and guidance as we live and breathe. Lord, as we experience life, as we have encounters, the things we don't understand, when we're hit with sorrow or with heartache, when we experience trauma and trouble, when we have those moments of awesomeness and great moments of life, Lord, we thank you that you are our God. And you are with us through each and every situation of life. Lord, continue to touch our minds and our hearts that we would rely on you. That we would pause before we speak and we would pray for your Spirit to speak and give us the words. Lord, in our time of worship, we're thankful for this time. Set aside from the busyness of life to be here, to connect in, to pray, to read, to sing, to receive communion, to remember. Our memory begins with Jesus Christ. In the sacrament of communion, when he sacrificed himself on the cross that we would know forgiveness of sins, and when he would arise from the grave to give us the promise of everlasting life with him. And Lord, as he arose in glory, you promised the coming of the Comforter, our Counselor. Lord, help us to know your word and to know your essence, that we rely upon you and we would be obedient to you and we would live for you. Lord, we pray for those that are grieving and mourning, not just in this service, but when we miss people that we have loved. Lord, may your peace and may our memories be a blessing in those times. Lord, we pray for Joan Greaser as she prepares for knee replacement surgery on Tuesday. We pray for her health. We pray for that team of physicians and nurses and caregivers. We pray for your strength as she recovers. We pray for Rosemary and we pray for Phyllis as they continue to be in Fairlawn. Lord, may they also know your peace and your nearness, your grace and your love and your strength. We pray for Leah. We pray for Lynn as they each continue in their various modes of treatment. Lord, we pray your blessing upon them. Lord, in our time of worship, unite us together through the truth of your word, and hear us, we pray, as Jesus taught.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Let us pray as we dedicate our offering this morning. Loving God, we have so many reasons to say thank you to you. Your generosity, grace, and mercy are astounding, and we pray that gifts we offer in worship and throughout the week might be used in your name. Help us to be generous with our money, but also with our talents and our time. Strengthen us to recognize your blessings, to be grateful, and to respond accordingly. Amen. I invite the ushers forward at this time.